Okay, our next speaker is from the dental world. And I'm going to tell you that before I came here, my dentist said, I have to start using a sodium fluoride toothpaste on my mouth, which, And I'm just hoping Dr. Kennedy will give me enough reason to tell the dentist I really don't want to do that. Anyway, David Kennedy is educated in the Midwest in medical school. He was a Navy lieutenant, which for those Army people, that would be like a captain. Navy is a Navy captain, or an Army, well, whatever. He has been very, very interested in dental toxicology for a number of years. I read his CV. He has over 30 presentations of various kinds, written and spoken and so on the subject of dental toxicology. So this is a man well equipped not only to talk about fluoride, but probably ready to answer any of your other dental toxicology questions. Dr. Kennedy, are you here, and will you come forward?
Right behind you. Bite you better.
Oh, right behind you. Okay.
Bite you better.
Bite, bite you. Right. Well, that's a dentist would have a good bite, wouldn't they? Okay.
Thank you very much. And as my friend John Wilson said, if you're not laughing, you're not listening. And so anyway, we're going to cover quite a few things. And basically, when we get done, you'll probably be crying. No, don't use your fluoride mouthwash. Fluoride is real bad for bones. If you want to see them go away, put fluoride on them. And that probably goes to the next one. Am I pointed in the right direction? Here we go. The very top button. I thought that was a laser. I don't want a pointer. I want to go to the next slide. There we are. Very good. So I'm going to talk about fluoride, but I'm going to try to give you a little bit better understanding of what we're really talking about. We're not really just talking about teeth. We're not talking about oral hygiene or what your dentist recommends. We're talking about the strongest, most electronegatively charged element in the whole periodic chart. In fact, fluoride will combine with the inert gases. So it's probably the inert gases are improperly named, I would say. It's highly prized in industry. Anytime you see flu anything, whether it's fluoxetine or fenfen and fenfluramine, those are fluoride-containing drugs. And that the pharmaceutical industry understands full well that fluoride turns on all the G proteins, so they put it in there as an activator. And it is in almost all your psychological drugs. It's also used extensively in industry. If you pumped a lot of oil out of the ground and it came out this nice thick tarry stuff, how did you make it into gasoline? Well, we would have to crack it, wouldn't we? What could we get to crack that gasoline? Well, that would be fluoride, wouldn't it? And so fluoride is highly prized in welding. You know, the rods, they're coated with fluoride as a flux on the outside because it's an electronegative charge. It scavenges up those other molecules so you get a nice bead on your welding rod. It disrupts molecular bonds. It is the bully of the periodic chart. It knocks everything else out of the way because that's what it does. It's corrosive. It's extremely poisonous. If you had a fluoride in a glass jar, it'll eat through the glass. Now, that's kind of nasty stuff, isn't it? Well, let's tell people it's good for them. What do you think? And that it's not the first time they've lied to us, is it? And that this is from a promotional film from the United States Public Health Service where they showed how safe DDT was, and we can have children eat their lunch while we squirt them down with DDT. And it causes absolutely no problem whatsoever. It's a well-known safe pesticide, and we recommend you squirt your entire village down with it every day. In fact, we'll do it for you. The DDT was banned in the 60s because of the eggshell problem. We were losing our birds. And that every year since then, they've produced more DDT. We didn't ban it worldwide. You banned it in the United States. They're producing it In Mexico, if you buy foods from Mexico, you've got pesticide-sprayed foods. You've got tremendous amounts of DDT. But it never was good for you. And let's see if we can get this. Come on. Here we are. The interesting thing about fluoride is that the only thing, and I'm, some people criticize whether I should even have this slide, but I will give them a little bit of credit, and then I'll explain why fluoride works. It's topical, you know, like on the surface. Who says that? Well, the same people promoting water fluoridation, the Center for Disease Control. And that's not an old report. That's 2001. The first time they figured out it was topical was the 50s. So it only took them 50 years to come clean with the American people. And there's a lot of things like that with our friends, and that the prevalence of dental caries in the population is not inversely related to the concentration of fluoride in the enamel. Higher concentrations of the enamel fluoride is not necessarily more efficacious in preventing tooth decay. Is there any harder way to say that than saying it doesn't work? I can help them with that. And research has indicated that the effects are after the tooth gets in the mouth and topical. And that the saliva is a major carrier of this thing. Well, how did it get in the saliva? Does it come out in the saliva when you eat it? No. You got to put it in the saliva in the form of toothpaste. Ah, that's it. And that the concentration of fluoride is not likely to affect cariogenic activity is the amount coming out in your saliva. Why? It's because it's about the same as breast milk. Ah, I see. So, next. And the ADA has known this for a number of years. That doesn't keep them from coming to your town to promote fluoridation. No, they're still out there telling us it's good, but they also warn you about the baby. Because as we were talking at lunch today, Dr. Paracelsus told us that dose of solum winum facit, dose alone makes the poison. And so what happens is that when you got something that's 8 pounds and all it does is drink water, you've got a hell of a dose, don't you? And so keep going. And fluoride incorporated developmentally, if you have swallowed it and it gets into your enamel, it doesn't help either. Oh, I see. So it doesn't help if it's inside the tooth. It only helps if it's outside the teeth. So let's put it in the water. And what does that cause? It causes the teeth to come in looking funny and spotted. Ah. So you've got to be a dentist to believe that you can poison the cells that were making this child's teeth to the point that you get funny-looking spotted enamel, and that's the only organ that was attacked. But if you've got a microscopic slide and a saw, and you cut into his bones, oh, there's some problem there too. And you look at his brain, there's some problems there too. You look at his immune system, there's some problems there too. So it's unlikely that there is any benefit from swallowing fluoride. And here is your dental fluorosis rate. It's an exciting graph. I put it in all those nice colors so that you could see that if you have more fluoride in the water, you have more dental fluorosis in a nice linear relationship. And I want you to understand how they managed to get the amount of dental fluorosis down to 30% in a fluoridated community. The third one over says 30%. What they did is they surveyed 39,000 children in 84 different communities. And then they said, let's see, a lot of kids have dental fluorosis, about 65% of them. That won't sound real good. And so they said, well, let's... if they've got just one tooth that's damaged, let's just throw all that data out. Okay, so that got it down pretty good. But some of it was moderate and severe. Well, severe is when what I just showed you, when parts of the teeth are missing. So that doesn't sound real good either. Let's classify it as the lesser of two evils. If you have two teeth that are damaged, and one is severe, and the other is moderate, and understand, moderate is the whole entire surface of the tooth. If I had a key and I went out to your BMW and I spent hours scraping all the paint off your BMW, I'd say it's just a moderate scratch. There's something wrong with the terminology here. But by doing that word game manipulation, they managed to get the number of children with two damaged teeth down to 30%, and much of it is mild and very mild. Mild is 50% of the tooth, and very mild, 25. So we're down to one fender. Hey, who cares about that fender? You get a new one every couple of years anyway. Don't worry about it. Next slide. And let's see if that... Oh, yeah, it'll grow for you. Keep going. Ah, that's if you don't have any fluoride in your water. And then if you got about 0.7 parts per million, and then if you got one part per million, if you got 1.2 parts per million, it fits pretty nice, doesn't it? Well, they still didn't like the results of this. What they did is when John Yamianis, an old friend of mine, sued him for the data under the Freedom of Information Act, thank you, Richard Nixon, they said they'd lost it. I haven't seen anybody prosecuting him for perjury, but apparently the Heller found it. And so here is from San Francisco, fluoridated water. He's a graduate student or undergraduate student modeling at the San Diego State. And she came in because her photographer told her that she had to get those headlights fixed. And I said, I see that you got a little too much fluoride when you were a kid. She said, yes, I was born and raised in San Francisco. She said, I'm Chinese. That wasn't a big surprise to me. And that my father wanted a son. And so what he has is she has five sisters. Poor guy, now he's got seven women. But anyway, he finally gave up. But when her first sibling was born, she's the oldest, they moved out of San Francisco. And none of the other children have any dental fluorosis. So the pundits would say, oh, she swallowed the toothpaste. Or it's her fault. You know how the doctors are supposed to blame you for the illness? Yeah, they blame the patient for the dental fluorosis, when actually it's the government policy to poison the children. They acknowledged that this would happen when they began this whole program. Start hitting some slides. We're going to have to go. So here's some very mild. Do you think the color has something to do with it? It doesn't, because they all start out white, and then if you put lots of greens, like we just heard was a good idea, then they turn green. If you drink tea, they turn brown. It's porous enamel. It's a flawed tooth. Here we are again saying infants are getting too much. That's what happens because infants drink about a liter of water a day. Do the math. You know, if you got a milligram of fluoride in the formula or in the water, and you got a 4 or 8 pound baby, that's a dose of 0.25 milligrams per kilogram. The lethal dose for fluoride is 5 milligrams per kilogram. Presumably toxic dose. So you're giving that baby 0.25. So if you divide a quarter into there, every 20 days that baby would swallow enough fluoride to kill it if it ate that much in one day. Well, it's not too likely to do that because that means it'd have to get into the refrigerator itself. And then, of course, there is a soy formula. There's a problem with that. It has about 0.8 parts per million fluoride in it. So, well, it's actually every 11 days the baby would receive a lethal dose of fluoride in a fluoridated community if the formula was made up with tap water. And so let's go a couple more slides. So the ADA offers this advice. If liquid concentrate, powdered infant formula, is the primary source of nutrition, in other words, the mother died and can't have breast milk, it may be mixed with water that is fluoride-free or contains low levels of fluoride to reduce the risk of fluorosis. And that this is the correct statement because not dental fluorosis, fluorosis. Because fluorosis is a systemic-wide disease. It doesn't just affect the teeth, although this is a dental organization telling you about your skeleton. Examples are, they tell you how to go buy bottled water. That's nice. Isn't that kind of like let them eat cake? Can't use the water? Go get it at the store. But we've got our stuff in there, and we know it's good for the kids. So we have a law in this country, in California specifically, that requires that the water be safe for us all to drink, the public health goal. Now, they can have asbestos in the water like they do in San Francisco, or lead or arsenic, But they got to tell you every year, and that's a little piece of paper it comes. And in California, the public health goal is the level that they're telling you not to give the baby. Huh. Nationwide, it used to be 4 times higher than that. And that this last spring, or actually spring of 2006, the National Academies of Science came out with the conclusion that the public health goal for the nation unanimously, and this is pro-fluoride and anti-fluoride, and just plain toxicologist, unanimously agreed that it was not protective. So why haven't the EPA in California, because of the National Academy of Science, because of immediate and imminent danger, reviewed the current propaganda about fluoride that they put in your water statement? And that's because you haven't contacted them yet. And I expect you to do so tomorrow. American Academy of Science, no medical organization on the planet currently recommends that you dose an infant with fluoride. None. But that's prescription fluoride. And we know water fluoridation doesn't give the baby the same dose as prescription fluoride. No, it does not. Is that after the baby reaches 6 months of age, up to the age of 3 years, they can have 1 cup of fluoridated water to achieve the same dose that they recommend. And this dose is not everybody get it. It says when all other sources are deficient, then they get the 1 cup of fluoridated water. I don't see how we're going to get any deficient sources as we go on. Human breast milk is deficient, according to these people. But since the babies prosper and don't die quite as rapidly in the on breast milk, then we probably would say God was right and the ADA was wrong. That here's your dosage schedule. Go on. And that even Colgate has acknowledged that children can end up with funny teeth from swallowed toothpaste. So when all other sources are deficient, how would you be deficient if you were brushing your teeth? And in the Wall Street Journal, Kit Shattuck makes a living promoting water fluoridation. And a recent survey found 22%. Did you see on that graph anywhere there's a 22%? No, I didn't either. But I found out how they got the number. They took the amount of dental fluorosis in a non-fluoridated community with their funny math and a fluoridated community and averaged it to get 22%. I don't think that's playing fair when you're telling us all we all got to put it in our water. California has a mandatory fluoridation bill that Jackie Speier and Willie Brown put together for us. Go on. And so when the congressional investigation convened, and with me today is Jeff Green, he was in charge of asking the questions and getting the answers, we determined that the fluoride, no drops in tablets have ever been approved, intended to be ingested. Only topical. And it is a drug regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. The EPA gave up oversight on that. And that there are no new drug applications on file. Isn't that nice? You hear how it costs millions and millions of dollars to get drugs approved? Don't have to get this one approved. It's 1975. The reason there are no new drug applications on file is they allowed 35 manufacturers of vitamins with fluoride to voluntarily withdraw the applications they'd submitted because there was no substantial evidence of drug effectiveness as prescribed, recommended, or suggested in the labeling. They didn't make them take it off the market. They just made them take their applications back. Get those applications out here now. Because this is my patient. And when she was about 13, 14 years old, she sat in my chair and I say, oh, I see that you had a little too much fluoride when you were a child. And she says, don't you remember what you told my mother? And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, I probably wrote the prescription. And she said, you asked her if she was giving her babies tablets of poison. And I said, oh, that's pretty clever of me, huh? And you can tell where she stopped. Is that she stopped when half of the tooth was there. And this is, she went out in the waiting room and got her little brother. Her little brother was 8 months old. He'd had 2 months of a quarter of a milligram of fluoride, and that's what's causing those little spots along the top edge of his teeth. And that's just in 2 months. You can imagine what, this is what the thing does. It poisons the person's body. At the present time, no new drug applications on file, thankfully. And fluoridation does not reduce tooth decay. Here's the bad. No broad-based blinded studies of animals. That's where you would start with something like this, wouldn't it? You'd put a cage full of animals, and you'd give some of them fluoride. No animals, no humans has ever found a significant reduction in the permanent tooth decay. You can show a slight difference in the baby teeth, and that might have to do with the eruption of the addition of one part per million. And this is their testimony. This is their experts. And so here's the study. This is the other half of the dental fluorosis study, 1987. 39,000 children, 84 different communities. You see any difference there? You see 100% reduction, 20%, 10%, 5, 0.001? No. There's no statistically significant difference in all those points. Then water fluoridation cannot reduce tooth decay. The level of fluoride incorporated in the dental mineral by systemic ingestion is insufficient to play a significant role. Here's the World Health Organization data from all the countries from all over the world. And that in the last 75 years, tooth decay has declined remarkably. Can you tell me which ones are fluoridated? I can tell you the vast majority are not. But Australia, Ireland, and the United States have fluoridation. None of the rest. Canada's lowest tooth decay rates in the non-fluoridated areas. New Zealand, 80,000 children study. Christchurch was no different, non-fluoridated. Arizona's the most detailed study you'd ever seen in your entire life. Tim Jones has been picking garbage up out of the people's houses. They know how many feet of dental floss these people use. They know how many tubes of toothpaste. They even know what kind of candy they eat and what the wrappers are, as well as the whether they eat cakes and cereals and... Well, it's fairly detailed. And they have dental exams going back 50 years. They know four different levels of fluoride in the water. And there's a 2/10, a 4/10, a 6/10, and an 8/10 from different wells. And so all it is, they took Tim's data and put it together with the tooth decay data, and they showed that the Hispanic children had increased tooth decay with water fluoridation. It causes disproportionate harm to a substantial segment of our society. We'll find another place where that happens. But it also causes tooth decay. Because they'll come to your city council and look right straight at you and tell you really great big ones. And so you need to be smarter than they are and have a video camera. Because it's unethical for a licensed professional to make false statements to the public. And that's why you got to get your video cameras out, because they start dancing around and acting kind of funny when they see the cameras rolling. The following warning was put on the toothpaste tube in 1997, and the reason was there was over 10,000 calls to the Poison Control Center annually by children who were made sick by the toothpaste. And it says, keep out of reach of children. I think that probably would be bad for sales. And if the amount is used in swallowing is... Swallowed, contact, amount used in brushing is swallowed, contact the Poison Control Center immediately. So there's about the same amount in a liter of water. So if I drink a liter of water that's from San Francisco, should I call the Poison Control Center too? So it's kind of tough to find one that doesn't have fluoride in it. But you know what? It's not a very effective prevention of tooth decay. I don't think I got my slide in here. We're going. Apparently, the Academy of General Dentistry is not too familiar with the admonitions of the FDA, because they tell their patients, like, if you have a little few too many cavities, that you should put a smear of toothpaste on your teeth and gums at night. Well, you know, fluoride eats bone. So you think we're going to have more business soon? Uh-huh. It's marketing. But okay, so now the really bad news is I've got everybody convinced that they're not going to drink the water that's sitting in front of them anymore. So, but the bad news is you can't drink anything that water touched either. And that would be soda pops. Well, we're not going to drink that. Minute Maid orange juice. Well, we're not going to drink that. And for the baby, we have the Gerber's Graduate Berry Punch, which was 3 parts per million. Oh, they can have a thimble full of that. And you say, gosh, how did all that fluoride get in that punch? Was that, I mean, the water's only got 1 part per million. How'd that punch get up to 3 parts per million? You know how I told you fluoride was very, very well respected in industry? Well, you've seen them with it. They have these planes that have a wing on the top and a wing on the bottom, and they're going,
grapes are juicy and tender. So anything that's got white grape juice in it is going to have fluoride in it because they use it as a pesticide. Because you know how it kills on contact when it hits your teeth? Well, those poor little flies buzzing around those grapes are lying with their feet up. But if you, Pilot gets in that stuff on him, he's dead too. So, bad job. Well, here's a nice breakfast. This is a breakfast of champions. Unfortunately, your commercial milk also has fluoride in it. And we sent that off to a veterinarian pathologist for his take on it because ordinarily mammalian milk does not contain fluoride of any kind. So how did we end up with, we measured a number of them in a number of different cities. How did we get 0.7 parts per million in milk? It's Cipro. We're giving the cows antibiotics, fluoroquinones. Good. So, go on. And this is a nice one that we were talking about at lunch today. Do you like Lipton iced tea? She did. They forgot to tell you that, by the way, drinking iced tea on a regular basis would give you crippling skeletal fluorosis. And she got so she had to bend over like this, Doc, isn't there something you can do for me? And he took an x-ray. And just like the people in China, and to his credit, it only took him 2 years, but he recognized the fact that a really white, white lower lumbar spine, and I think I was corrected today, it's the sacroiliac joint, fluoride. So it's found in almost all your foods, and there's a new program by Homeland Insecurity to gas all incoming foods with Vicaine, sulfural fluoride, and nuts. So your organic almonds that are raised in Argentina will come in and be gassed. I forgot the levels. I think it's powdered eggs is 600 parts per million. Toothpaste, for reference, is 1,000 to 1,500 parts per million. So powdered eggs gets up to 600 parts per million. And I have a lot of people say, I don't eat powdered eggs. And I said, oh, I guess you don't eat bread. Oh, well, yeah, you don't eat muffins and you don't eat, nobody eats powdered eggs unless you're in prison. They use them in all your bakery goods. But when they hit it with Vicaine, it ends up at 600 parts per million. So if a bug comes along and starts to bite the powdered egg, it dies. Same thing true of your leafy vegetables. The outside of cabbage is limited to 45 parts per million. Leaf lettuce is 40 parts per million. That head lettuce, 180 parts per million. Brush your teeth with lettuce. That's it. And keep going. And your potatoes, they limit that to 22 on the outside and 2 on the inside. Your raisins, the advocates for fluoridation say, well, you can wash this pesticide off. Have you ever tried to wash a raisin? And how about the tomato paste? I tried to wash that. It went right on down the drain. I don't know. I just couldn't wash it off. Here's your Fruit Loops are high because of the pesticide in the corn syrup. And then you got your Gerber's white grape juice. That's the original stuff. That'll cripple you in about 5 years. And then you got the Wheaties. And so if you put the two together, you can have the white grape juice and the wheat. And then so I'm going to get my baby the organic kind. I'm going to get Gerber's Tender Harvest. 8 parts per million. Well, that's good for the baby's teeth, And so that's the mechanically deboned chicken. And the bad news is that if you buy a wine from the United States, that we have no control whatsoever of the amount of pesticide in your wine. So I recommend that you follow the program of the European Union, and they limit to the wines in Europe to a half a part per million. All pesticides combined, and fluoride, of course, except in this country, is considered a pesticide. The bad news is that when they get a batch of wine that doesn't qualify for sale in the European Union, they package it up and send it over here. Because we don't care. And for the people that like their little pets, that they put ground bone meal in the pet food so that the doggy can have strong bones. Unfortunately, the bone is the sequestra of fluoride, so now the dog is getting the cow's lifelong exposure to fluoride, and it's 180, 200 parts per million. So they end up poisoned. And that there are people that are extremely sensitive to fluoride. And that existing data indicates subsets of the population are sensitive to fluoride, and that includes the elderly. And that people are deficient in magnesium, calcium, vitamins. It counts like the people we've been talking about here today, doesn't it? So if you want to know why your therapies aren't working, I suggest you take a fluoride intake history from your patients, because they inhibit every enzyme known to mankind. They don't have to have a metal cofactor. Fluoride inhibits every single enzyme known to mankind. That's why the teeth are spotted. It inhibited the enzyme that was supposed to be taking away a little bit of protein and putting in calcium hydroxyapatite. Well, what if you're swallowing this stuff and you have a little deficiency? The EPA is lying to you. Is that everything else in the water is regulated at parts per billion. They advocate we add one part per million. That's the M word, not the B. And that it's legal, and you used to be able to buy it right at the store there. Trinity Water was four parts per trillion, or billion, million, million. So, and that's legal in the United States. And keep going. Fluoride affects brains? Sure, let's see. Fluoride is a lot more toxic than lead and a hair less toxic than arsenic, so wouldn't we expect it to affect brains? And that just like lead, it accumulates and is linked to damage to the brain development. Here's a study from China. I did a survey in China a few years ago, so I kind of like Chinese studies. They're really concerned about the health of their people. And they showed that if the children had dental fluorosis, that they scored worse on the IQ test than if they didn't have dental fluorosis. You know how the kids are having some trouble in school? You think frying their brains with fluoride would have anything to... Nah, couldn't. Let's go to the next slide. And then looked another way, what happens is you lose all your genius in society and you end up with mentally retarded children, or what we call them... ditch diggers, janitors, people who can't get through high school. They can't read the letters and things are jumping around because the synapses in the brain are damaged. So we have an increase in the number of poor people who are homeless and can't seem to live in our society. I think that kind of reminds me of our country. And it's Zhao again. I didn't put it on there. Zhao. I'll email them all to you if you want, John. Richard, keep going. Same guy. And there's even some more new ones. And this was where the water was legitimate to sell almost in the United States, and then they advocated there was no control, and it cripples people. Keep going. And that this is a fellow that. The little abaches, you know, that the Chinese abaches that they cook the barbecued meat on and so forth. Well, they do that inside the house. And that in this particular area, they use those to dry corn. And so many of the people there end up crippled because they inhale the coal dust, and that the coal is fairly high in fluoride. So, coal fire power plants. We're really concerned about the mercury. Yeah. But the fluoride coming out would be really good for your teeth, too. I mean... You know, if it makes his legs look like that, this guy can't move his head to one side. That's Dr. Gao showing you how he's stiff. She's thanking the water people that came to the village for helping her walk, because she says, since you changed the water to the no fluoride water, the pain went down so much I can get out of bed. She was in frozen on the bed for 4 years when she was 20. Now she's 40. Oh, doesn't look 40, does she? She can't look up, so she puts her leg against a rock and leans back so she can say hi to the mayor and hi to Dr. Gao and Dr. Dai, who were instrumental in getting the fluoride out of that village. And she's very grateful because the pain was so intense. She actually had paralysis of the lower limbs, and that on the new water, the body was able to fix it. This was without medical care. And in another village, not very far away, this lady has been on the bed for a year and a half, and that she can't move. She can't get out of that bed. And that she's in horrible pain. And she is the only person we saw in our entire tour that had a pillow.
That's a piece of plywood with contact paper on it, is what they call a bed. Kind of like the ones here. And I got you a better picture. Is that the sacroiliac joint? See how white the spine ends up when it gets fluoride? And that's one of the characteristics that made them try it extensively to treat osteoporosis. And that osteoporosis, they found that it increased the hip fracture. So it never got approved. And that this is one of the people that we just saw. But the National Academy of Science estimates that it would take 10 milligrams for 10 years. Well, who's real good at math? Let me see. So if you're going to live to be 100 years old, if 10 milligrams will poison you in 10 years, how many milligrams is it going to take to poison you if you're going to live to be 100 years old? Oh, I heard a one. Well, that's what you get out of every liter of water. How many people recommend that you drink 1 liter of water a day and stop? No more than that. No more soup. No beer. No wine. 1 liter of water a day. And you can't have any Wheaties. You can't have any orange juice. No Post-Toasties. And that's a phony figure, too. 10 milligrams for 10 years is not correct either. It's way lower than that. So I got the good news out. Now I'm going to give you the bad news. Like I said, if you're not laughing, you're not listening. So how many people realize that they don't put fluoride in your water in San Francisco? How many people knew that? Gary did. Jeff did. Oh, I guess they got the wool over your eyes, don't they? And it's bad in there, too. So what they use is the elixir from the pollution scrubbers of the phosphate fertilizer mining industry. It's called hydrofluorosilicic acid. And it is highly contaminated with arsenic and lead and cadmium and a potpourri of other things. It will eat through concrete. It will eat through stainless steel. How do they get it from Florida, where 70% of it's generated in the phosphate mines of Cargill, to California? If it's going to eat through stainless steel, do they drive the truck really fast? No. It takes it longer. It will eat rubber, but it takes it longer to eat through about an inch thick piece of rubber. So what they do is they take these trucks, and you can spot them because the backs are bolted on because they're going to take the back off. And they line this whole truck with what they call a bladder. And it's not really quite a bladder because this rubber is like your tire rubber. I mean, it's tough. And they put the truck together, and then they pump the stuff in it, and then they drive it real fast. And every year, they have to unbolt the thing, take that rubber out, and put a new one in. Because if they don't, it'll eat through the rubber, and then it'll eat through the truck, and then they'll have to have a hazardous waste disposal cleanup crowd. And the fellow was driving up the Grapevine, and he stopped to get a little cup of coffee. And when he came back, his fluoridation truck was dripping. And he just got to walk away, got his cell phone out, called 911. He never went back near it. He gets paid extra to drive hazardous waste. And they came in with another truck, and they transferred the stuff to another truck. And they came in with a bulldozer, and they took away all the dirt that the stuff had dripped on. You read about that in the paper, didn't you? I guess they don't make a big deal about it. Who cares? It's good for the teeth. But unfortunately, it's not an inert compound. And that, you know how the people in this group are all big on chelation? Well, it's a chelator. Hydrofluorosilicic acid has a patent on it. Oh, well, that's good. Why don't they use it for that? Well, its patent is to remove lead from brass. Oh, I mean, if I had a cannon, I could put it in the stuff and I would get all the lead out on one side and the copper out on the other. Yep. Pretty unique stuff, huh? So what makes you think it's quit being able to do that when you put water with it? I guess dilution's a solution to pollution. Not. So this is a study that had about 250,000 children. It's in the Haynes data. Anybody wants to bark at it, you know, that they did. This was done by Roger Masters at Dartmouth.
And they showed that, there was a tremendous increase in the amount of lead in the children that were exposed to hydrofluorosilicic acid or sodium silicate fluoride. They give it different names depending on whether it's with or without water, and that they sell it both as a dry powder and as a liquid. So, and it doesn't make any difference, apparently. You know, it poisons the children just as well either way. And that what they did show was that there was a disproportionate harm. Is it just as in dental fluorosis? We've shown that in the very first cities to be fluoridated, Grand Rapids and Michigan and Muskegon, that the African-American population in the fluoridated city had more than twice as much and more severe dental fluorosis as the Caucasians. And I think we probably touched on some of the reasons for that here today, is that a lot of people are poor and milk is fairly expensive. A lot of people with either from Asia or Africa are lactose intolerant, and so it makes them puke to eat milk. And so if you had a glass of milk and Coca-Cola, that the fluoride in your soda pop would conjugate with the calcium from the milk and turn into calcium fluoride, which is a very nice stone. You can pick it up at a lapidary shop and have it polished and put it on your desk. I would not recommend that you lick it. But it's a relatively inert rock. And that's what the calcium does. But if you don't have that calcium in the same meal or in the same area at the same time, then fluoride will go find either calcium or magnesium. And that, because it loves both of them. And it's fickle. You know, it doesn't make any difference what it's hooked to. It's hooked to sand. You think it likes sand? Not much. It's hydrofluosilicic acid, water, fluoride, and sand in an acid form. And when it gets a chance, it'll drop all of that stuff, give you the sand, thank you very much. The aging of the mitochondria is proportional to the amount of silica in them. I wonder if fluoride could accelerate aging. I believe there's a book by that title, Fluoride, the Aging Factor. So drops the sand and takes a hold of the calcium. Well, where do you suppose it can find the calcium? Is it going to go by the calcium in your bloodstream and then go by the calcium in your bones and go by the calcium in your aorta and then find that calcium in your teeth? I don't think it's that smart. As a matter of fact, when we take people who've been drinking fluoridated water and grind them up, we find that there's fluoride in their bones at a fairly high level, and that the hip bone breaks pretty often, and that they did a survey in Canada, Montreal versus Toronto. Toronto's fluoridated, Montreal's not. And the people in Toronto had about 2,500 parts per million on average fluoride in the hip bone. And the people in Montreal had around 800 parts per million fluoride. And remember, toothpaste is limited to 1,000 to 1,500. So if your bone is twice as high as toothpaste, do you think it might be dead bone would be the reason it broke? And yes, there's lots of data showing that hip fracture goes up in fluoridated communities. And so who's advocating fluoridation? Well, the guy in front's the dentist, right? So in 1998-99, when the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology decided to invite seven EPA scientists and a number of other scholars, including John Lee, God rest his soul, to San Diego to do what we call a risk assessment, 2 days, and in order to help us fund the program that we put out CME credit through UCSD and dental credit through the Preventive Dental Health Association for dentists, dental hygienists, and dental assistants. And 2 days before the meeting, the UCSD withdrew the CME credit, saying that it was an anti-fluoridation group. Well, I don't know where they got that. And the day before the meeting, that this letter was faxed to my office, it says, it is the determination of whether a specific individual or subject of the population is at any time suffering from or will suffer from adverse health effects outside of the oral cavity from ingested fluoride within the purview of dentistry? And we understand the question, and the answer is no. As phrased, your question would appear to be a medical diagnosis. That's kind of blunt. So dentists cannot make medical diagnoses. So when the dentist assures you that fluoride has been proven safe and effective by thousands of studies, and it's approved by the American Dental Association for use in the oral cavity, then you should ask him, are there any other health effects related to fluoride? And the appropriate answer would be, I don't know, because I'm not allowed to study them for continuing education credit, and I'm not allowed to teach them. I was on a radio talk show in Santa Cruz, and we get to, you know, God helps out every now and then and has a caller call in and said, what do you do about an acute fluoride poisoning? And I was on the program with Howard Pollack, who's a professor here in San Francisco, teaches the students about the benefits of water fluoridation. And I said, acute fluoride poisoning. Dr. Pollack, I think you teach the students all about that at the University of Pacific, don't you? Why don't you take that one? It's something they do at the hospital. You're relying upon these people's assurance of safety when they attack your water supply with their hydrofluosilicic acid, which is used in 95% of the waters. So I had to explain to Howard that they have to immediately start an IV of calcium, and if it's on the skin, they have to inject calcium and magnesium into the skin. Otherwise, their heart will stop because of a lack of calcium. And that with that kind of instruction, it's no wonder that children die every year in dental chairs from the topical fluoride treatment. They just blame it on the anesthetics. Oh, the child must have got an overdose of the anesthetic. Well, you know, they're lying on their back. Welfare's paying for it. They get an extra $7 if they paint a lethal dose of fluoride on those teeth. And in my book, I wrote up the death of a child in New York that the autopsy showed he'd... three-year-old child had received enough fluoride to kill three children. And the dentist and the dental hygienist both testified that they were unaware of the fact that fluoride was a poison. Same clinic killed a kid about 2 years after that, too. So they don't get the message, but they get paid to put that on the team. So that's where we're coming from. And I want to introduce one of the people whose lives I've helped ruin. That, as you can see, I don't care about the water. I don't care about your patients. I don't care about my country. I think it's perfectly all right for us to cause disproportionate harm throughout our nation and cripple people, cause hip fracture to go up, cause crime to go up. On the lead level studies, that's one of the other things that Masters included, is he showed that the communities that used hydrofluosilicic acid not only had children, a six-fold increase in the African Americans with high levels of lead, a four-fold, that's 400%, like the dentist want to talk about tooth decay, in the Hispanic. They don't know Asians because that was an eastern country, an eastern seaboard city, and they didn't have enough Asians to include that. But has crime gone up since they started doing this? I think so. So we don't care about the crime as long as, you know, I'm packing, you know. So the... But then so are they. So I guess we're all in trouble, huh? But a number of years ago, Jackie Speier and Willie Brown decided that we had to have fluoride. And I know this is a little bit off of the continuing education portion of the show, but I'll get back to that in a second. But they decided that they were going to mandate that Californians drink fluoridated water. And why would that be? It's because at the time, only San Francisco, Mill Valley, and Long Beach and Hollywood were fluoridated. And we were number 48 out of the 50 states in water fluoridation. Hawaii is zero, by the way. Nice place to vacation. And so they decided that they needed to do this. And so several years before they presented the bill, they began to grease the palms of the politicians with money
So that, and they wrote a fairly extensive article about it afterwards, bragging about how they were able to keep those pesky anti-fluoridationists from blocking this bill, as they had blocked fluoridation throughout the state on more than 70 occasions. Citizens have gone to the polls and said, you know, I think the truck should stay in Florida. Think of all the air pollution that they would cause driving over here. And I'll just brush my teeth with Colgate or something if I want to ingest fluoride. And that 70 times we've gone to the polls. Isn't that a democracy? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? 70 times. But the people in Sacramento understood that you don't know what you really want. And so they've mandated that every city, over 10,000 connections, add this to their water supply. So I asked my friend Jeff Green what he would do about it, and he said he'd probably move to a mountain cabin and drink well water. Well, that's what he does. But he started working with the citizens, and that there are a lot of reasons why they can't do this. And one of them, they have the legal right, the police powers, they can do that legally. But they can't do it because there are no toxicological studies of the actual substance. When his congressional investigation in 2000, he asked the EPA, what toxicological studies do you have of the actual substance being added to the water supply? And they said, we were unable to identify any. Well, hell, we can identify some for you. Like the one of sheep, showing that if you feed that animal hydrofluorosilicic acid versus sodium fluoride, it dies sooner. Well, that didn't qualify because it wasn't a human study. They don't have any studies. So we have these people out here that one of the things that we found, we said, well, you know, the Standard 60, the American Water Works Association, who regulates this? And that's not the EPA. EPA gave up oversight for government self-regulation in 1988. Oh, that's like letting a tobacco industry determine how the cigarettes look and smoke and have them light themselves. You can just put a match on the end of it and you can get some fire. Self-regulation, and it takes on a new meaning, and that who was on the committee? Well, that would be Cargill. Oh, I see, the people that produce it. Yes, and who else? Lucier, the people that sell it. And water companies like San Francisco that dispense it. Were there any toxicologists or environmentalists or physicians on that? No. No, we have only industry here. Industry self-regulation, remember. It's the Reagan era. So we have industry self-regulation, and they gave the easiest, most simple standard, American Water Works Association Standard 60, easiest standard in the world. But all they got to do is furnish the toxicological data on the elements that are found in the stuff, and every year they take one cup, dip it out of the holding tank, and send that in for batch testing. That's a pretty easy standard, wouldn't you say? That's pretty easy. I mean, you could dip the toilet. I don't care. You know, there's nothing in that standard that regulates anything, is there? And when the congressional investigation asked them for the testing, they said, we don't have any. Oh, not one drop of fluoridation chemical has ever been legitimately certified. And they asked them for the toxicological data on the elements that are found in the actual substance, the arsenic and the lead and the cadmium and the hydrofluorosilicic acid, and they don't have any of that either. And they said, well, maybe it's, you know, a trade secret and you've got a professional business papers. No, they said, we really don't have any. Oh. So the laws of most states require them to use legitimately certified American Water Works chemicals. Not one drop has been legitimately certified. And, you know, you'd think that, and, you know, they know we know that. And several water companies are approaching it from that standpoint. And why didn't they just certify it? L word. Liability. Oh, because there's enough arsenic in it that once it's diluted 180,000-fold with your pristine, pure, etchy-etchy water, that it has sufficient arsenic to cause an additional cancer of the bladder or lung per 1,000 water users. I'm good. And so, what if you got osteosarcoma, which is a bone cancer that's definitely linked to ingested fluoride in young boys?
Well, you might want to go back against the person that sold the city that stuff, wouldn't you? They can say they don't know nothing about it. They've never had any toxicological data on that. So it's the L word, liability, or liars, or some L word. I don't know. And that they're using your water to dilute a very concentrated hazardous waste material that they can't legally bury in the ground, they can't leak it into the ocean, they can't pour it in a stream, they can't have it come out the smokestacks of the phosphate mining industry. But they can go to the good-hearted people of this country and say, you know, the children have lots of rotted teeth, and it's got nothing to do with the gunk food in the stores and the schools. It's got nothing to do with the soda pops and the candy that the children eat. It's got nothing to do with the fact that they got lousy dental care and murky fillings. And it's got nothing to do with that. But they need to have the fluoride in their water so that it gives equal poisoning to everybody throughout the society, and that we have equal benefit of this wonderful elixir of life. I think if I invented something that caused headaches, I'd call it Bright Brain. Buy it today. The fluoride is anything besides the elixir of life. It's actually the elixir of death, and that brings us back to how it works. Topically, it's a poison. Brush your teeth with poison, see your dentist twice a year. Makes those little germs on your teeth die. You have nothing to fear. Why do you think you could do that when you could use salt and baking soda? No patent on that stuff, is there? No soap in it either. No triclosine. How about iodine? That's an essential nutrient. You've probably heard some lectures on how that seems to make the thyroid work. Fluoride makes it not work. Matter of fact, there's a whole chapter in the National Academies of Science on the endocrine disruption and the neurological disruption. You're talking about the neurology here in this meeting. You think maybe the neurology of fluoride on brains is one of the reasons you have so many people that have a wire loose? It makes it happen to the workers that inhaled it. They became jabbering or fell asleep, confused, mentally confused. Might remind you of some of your patients. So as you return to your offices, study up on what's in the food that you're recommending your patients eat, and run a little experiment on the next person that comes in with pain in their back or their joints or their elbows, and get them off all fluoride products. Put them on distilled water. You wash your clothes in coffee, they wouldn't come clean, would they? Wash them in pure water and see if you can help them, like that nice lady that was thanking the doctors. Help them relieve that pain by getting the chunks of fluoride that's bound to the calcium in their bones and joints and ligaments out of their bodies. I don't know any way to chelate it out, but the mitigation to fluoride poisoning is calcium, magnesium, vitamin C, selenium, iodine. Write that down, take it home. That's your take-home message. Jeff, stand up so they know who you are. That's my friend Jeff Green, and he's helped citizens all over the United States keep fluoride out of the water supply or get it out.
Maybe I'll add one thought since we're still on fluoride. When I was a medical student back in the 1950s, they had introduced fluoridation to Minneapolis in the 1947, and I was in biochemistry in 1952-53 with Wallace Armstrong, and he was a strong advocate for fluoridation, so actually I grew up with that idea as a good idea. Years later, when I began to know otherwise and knew our late and esteemed Dr. John Lee, I got into it enough to find the following little pearl. My professor was responsible for the safety studies on fluoridation in the public health sector in the 1950s, and His colleague was named Leon Singer. Do you recognize these names as we're discussing it? And of course, the assay that they used for measuring fluoride levels was taken as the standard for safety. In 1967, I think it was 12 to 15 years later, they found that their assay was using an ion-specific electrode, but it was not using anything to ash the sample. When they ashed the samples, or dissolved the samples in, I think it was nitric acid, they found that the error factor had been overlooked. The ion-specific electrode only measured the water-soluble forms of fluoride. It didn't measure the already reacted insoluble forms of fluoride that would still be broken down in your body. And the error averaged, the error was as high as 650%, and averaged 300% low. In other words, the database on which all the safety ideas, even if the toxicology wasn't complete, that which they were working with was flawed to read the fluoride, and that would include fluoride in blood levels in particular as a false low by at least an average, a factor of threefold, 300%. Just thought I'd throw that in there as one that I haven't seen discussed. It seems to be just swept under the rug and overlooked. I thought maybe my gratefulness to you, and then I'll get away from this microphone.
A lot of fuzzy numbers in the fluoride.
It's just that, you know, maybe we need a little more reinforcements. And maybe for the group, our first position statement as an organization for the Orthomolecular Medical Society was a position statement against fluoride, against fluoridation, which I used in opposing Jackie Spear's bill in testimony at the state level here. What I was impressed with the state level was that the psychology of fluoridation is not only dentists, so don't feel too bad. Pediatricians are equally culpable, maybe more so, because the legislators who pushed this through on a vote in California were women who, with children, female legislators, who couldn't accept the fact that, well, this is such a big deal. I mean, this is really our valedictory, as far as I'm concerned. Who couldn't accept the fact that the pediatrician could be wrong. Okay, end of my little oratory, but it's just, we need to do more with this. I've got a defunct position statement that I hope to do more with.